This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne.
You had talked about like that not only do you inherit negative things, you can inherit the positive things, right?
So 100%. And that's I think that's a great example.
That's a beautiful example, yeah.
And even, I'm curious, Lakrita, if this resonates with you, but even hearing you talk about you having the presence of mind to no longer raise your voice at your son, and seeing how your grandson now has this emotional intelligence, do you think that the changes that you made then impacted your son, that then impacted your grandson?
I really do. I really, really do.
That's resilience too.
You know what I mean? I really, really do. And I don't take nothing away from his mom and the things she has instilled in him either. Mm-hmm. But I do believe, because I made that decision 21 years prior to him having his own son.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? As I progressively began to do that, then that was able to switch on how he, you know what I'm saying, is with his son. And then his son having the emotional intelligence and ability to talk about and how he feels and curious and all of those things, because there has been spaces in his life where those markers didn't go down on him.
That, I think, is another example of the resilience piece and what you, through unlearning and undoing, pass down so that it creates this new learning and this opportunity for new doing so that you create a different narrative generationally for your family line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, to me, that's the beauty in understanding more about epigenetics. It is really understanding how we have been impacted by the pain, but what is the potential that I now have from this point going forward with this new learning and this new unveiling, that things can look different. It's almost, to me, it's like holding space for the pain and also holding space for the new purpose and potential and future that we can walk into.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, and allowing, I think you were talking about where you were emotionally connecting with the workout for the Woman King and how you asked that question, like, God, is this hitting something deeper?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reminded how the Holy Spirit will just reveal these things if you ask him.
If you ask.
And, you know, that is it's just a beautiful thing that God gives us, a great gift in the Holy Spirit to be able to reveal those things, that we can work on them and not be like in a place where we're like, well, I just got to live with that, you know, or that pain or that experience that you've inherited, and how wonderful God is to be able to give us that out, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just, it's so many things going in my head today, but that's so true. It's just like God always creates. When the Bible talks about in Romans 8:28, you know what I'm saying, that you know, all things work together for our good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. You know what I mean? I look back at that now, almost 30, well, it's been 30 years, 31 on August the 9th of this year when I left prison. And I look back over these 31 years of my life. And when I take going back to self-responsibility, that's why I named my book Breaking the Cycle of Self-Abuse, because I really didn't have control of what other people did to me or what they did to me, what they didn't give me, what they did not have to give me.
Yes.
Gosh, that's a big one.
You know what I'm saying? What
that part.
What they forgot to give me, what they may have not learned to give me. I only was responsible to forgive them, and that was a journey. But in forgiving them, I was forgiving me. And I'll never forget the time when I wanted to hold on to my biological mother's decision about leaving me at her friends and never coming and get me. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord showed me, I dare you ask me to ask, you pray for your son's father to forgive you and let your son come back into your life. When you did the same thing she did,
wow.
the difference you did it different. You dropped him off and went to prison and never came back. So what is the difference? So she did to you what you can't forgive her for. You're here praying to me, asking me to help your son's father forgive you so you can see your child. So show me how that is different. No, you must go back here and forgive her because you did the same thing. You just did it different.
Wow. That's more unveiling.
But that was a deeper unveiling for me to know that that was part of that piece.
Wow.
Of like the Holy Spirit showing me that, like, you, I dare you, ask me, you know, to ask, because I hadn't seen my son in 4 years, almost 4 or 5 years, because his father vowed to never let me see him. Because of my choices, my, you know what I mean? And I had to go back and deal with some of that stuff. And then when I finally wanted to see my child again, and I, someone said, just pray for him, and pray for the son's father's heart. And I'm like, what? You know, but in praying for his heart to change again towards me, the Lord reminded me, has your heart changed against your mom? Because she didn't come and get you. She left you somewhere, but you did the same thing. You just went to prison. You did the same thing. You abandoned your child. He wasn't enough to keep you out of prison because you were still nursing on the pain of your trauma. You were still blaming everybody for what they did to you. So you start killing yourself. But killing you, you were killing so many other people. You were abusing so many other people with the self-abuse. So now let's deal with that. Let's take on responsibility. Let's take ownership. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not saying that that's me and them to deal with that. That's not your job. You're not responsible to deal with the sins of the father and the father's father's father. You're responsible to deal with yours. I'll deal with them. Trust me, they will come by me.
Don't you want to remind God sometimes, and I mean this in a funny way, where it's like, but God, look at them. Don't look at me. Look at You do want to do that. And then God, but in all seriousness, it is about looking at us because we can only change us and we're only responsible for us. And I know for me, I have a lot of buts sometimes. It's like, but God, they did this and but God, they were wrong. And but, and you got to just trust God with that. So, but it's tough. It's really tough sometimes.
Yes. And I think that's, to me, the beauty of where the science and our faith match.
Yes.
Is who God is and what God did for us and taking on all the things, not for us to be bound by all the things, simply put.
Amen. That's a good way to put that.
Even, you know, like what you said earlier, Lucretia, of what they, those who came before us, didn't know, what they didn't have, what you didn't know and didn't have as a mother, but then chose to learn and get and understand so that you could have from a place of knowing something to give your son that is now being passed on and passed on and passed on. And just the grace of God to be all up in and through that, that the process of unveiling is, I think, a process of us having humility, having courage, having vulnerability, being able to lean on what God is saying and who he says we are a new creation. And so all of those things that happened to us, or even that we did to someone else, that there's potential for us to have a different story, mainly because he chose to give us a different story.
Amen.
And so if that happened, why wouldn't I do the work of unveiling and understanding where all this is coming from? Because I believe it's going to lead us to a place of greater intimacy with Jesus.
Yes.
And more freedom in our minds and in our souls and in our spirits to be able to live as the free sons and daughters that he
we
called
are.
Us to be. Yeah.
That we are. That we are. And he knew that even in epigenetics that there was going to be a stronger gene in us called him. Because we're made in his image and after his likeness. And so he understood, because everything that is created, he created. So yeah. The scientific evidence are all of those. And that's why it says when he forgives from generation to generation, mm-hmm. from the forefather, mm-hmm. you know, he knew that. And so, but he knew that there was going to be a gene in us called spirit, yeah. called God, the God image and likeness, yes. that he was going to call up on that. Mm-hmm. And I think he does it every day with all of us, mm-hmm. with what's happening in the world. And it's like, you know, I tell people, and I think I've shared this before, that he didn't come that day in prison to see about who I was. He was coming to see where he was, mm-hmm. in me. Was he still That's there? Mm-hmm. And he was ready to blow and breathe on himself, mm-hmm. inside me. Mm-hmm. And would I be open enough to have that experience, yeah. to surrender to the opportunity that was given to me in that time, mm-hmm. and space.
That's good.
I mean, I just had an experience today that was so profound for me. I've been in this leadership role for a long time. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to something that you said, and it might be even, you know, but no, I'm going to go here. Mm-hmm. About making space. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a new president, and I take away nothing from the old, mm-hmm. because the old gives you what it gave you.
Yes.
And it gave me what I needed.
Yep.
Mm. But the new is giving me who I am.
Mm.
And in that moment, wow. when I went to get, I'm just going to say, to do my evaluation today, he gave it back to me. And he said, this is too small. You have shrunk yourself down to nothing.
Wow.
I will not receive this evaluation from you. I need you to redo it.
Mm.
Because you bring so much more to the table. No one in leadership in 27 years.
Wow.
Have said that to me. And I don't mean that that person before that, mm-hmm. didn't see that.
Mm.
But they took whatever I gave them. And was okay with it. But he is saying, I'm not accepting this as who you are. You have done more.
Mm.
You have brought more to the table.
Wow.
You have done strategies. You have done, and I want them written out.
Mm. Mm.
I will not accept this. It's too small.
Mm.
And I gotta say amen. I agree with him.
Yes.
You've done a lot. You've done a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we do that as women anyway. We tend to shrink ourselves. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the presence of others, like we make ourselves smaller just so we can fit. And it is just amazing when people see us in the vastness and the bigness that God has poured into us and made us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's, which is what I think the new president did with you. He recognized you're so much bigger than shrinking yourself down, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Fresh eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Fresh eyes.
And you know, and in the end, he still was like so gentle and is like, you get me, right, sister? You get me. And and it was like, no, I get you. Trust me. Mm-hmm. I get you. Oh, trust me. Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying.
Because
I know who I am.
Yeah, that
I get what you're saying, because I know who I am and I know what I bring.
Mm-hmm.
I just not have been invited in a way to say it the way you're saying that I need to. I got this. On the 17th, we'll be back, because I got this.
That is, got my wheel spinning. What came to mind, I don't even know if this connects, but what came to mind is a deep calls unto deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, my question is directed to Jesus, but I'm curious about, like, was there something in you and something in the new president that also connected, like your rootedness, who you are, even though you get me, sister, like, again, nothing to take away nothing from the previous president, but there's, in the way you describe that, it seemed to go a layer deeper of how you were seen. You were able to be seen from a place of rootedness and understanding. And I'm like, there was something deep that called onto deep in what you described to me. And I'm like, oh, Lord. That's good.
Well, and I think it helped you see your value here, which at times, I'm sure, you probably haven't recognized or felt recognized.
Or so it's, I think that what, and it goes back so rooted into the epigenetics, that you strive so hard because of what you feel like you've lacked.
Yes.
And then if you don't have someone rooting you on and encouraging you because maybe they don't know how, that is not how they see you. They don't see themselves. I can't pour to you from an empty cup.
Ooh, that's good.
And so if I don't have the ability to pour into you something that I may not have in the way that you need it, not that I don't love you, not that I don't care about you, not that I don't see the vast of your potential, but I have come to a place in my life that when people take a picture of you, and that's the picture they see, I don't care how often you try to climb out of that frame, if that person does not allow the frame to break, they will always see you in that picture.
That's so good. That's a whole word.
And that is what we've done to ourselves at times. And so I think when you said deep calls unto deep, this is a man that only, he doesn't know me per se, but he sees what's in me and he acknowledges that. And that is acknowledging that I see you.
Yes.
I don't care what other people's frame is. I don't care how I see you. And if this is what you want to put on paper, I'll accept it. But it, when we finish, it will not be good for you. So I'm going to challenge you to go back and put on this paper who you really are and what you really have done and how you've really done it. Because this minimizes.
Wow.
This shrinks you. This, no, this ain't who you are. And so I'm going to give this back to you.
That's good.
And I want you to think about it and I want you to sit with it. Because you don't just run recovery. You don't just do this. And you just, he said, but that's the way it sounds. You just, you just. No, no, no. You have. You are. Wow. You've done.
That's, yep. I was
something.
And they were talking about take a break from doing a to-do list and all the things that you have to do and switch to a did list, like a done list, and looking at all the things that you've done and like letting that be the focus of the day versus all of these things that I have to do or yet to do or need to finish. Look at what I have finished. Look at what I've completed. Look at what I've been gifted to or allowed to, what God has designed me to finish, and look at it. And I just hear you saying that.
I'm telling you. And just the fact that genetically probably, you know, has been passed down, experience, my experiences, just, you know, the way that I've been presented, in, even in an organization that I love and the work that I do, and yet not always, it's always what could be better, not what you've already been good at and done, but what you could do. And the way that that person, and that probably came from that person's raising.
That's,
and where they came from. And so, of course, they only could pour out of the cup, which was in them. Have. I can't, you know, I'm not, I have no nothing but opportunity to truly be all that I can be and be seen and not be bragging about it. But hey, I'm enough and I've done enough and I've done a lot and I will continue to grow and develop. And the biggest thing that I feel like I have done is I have set on a path to be present enough with God and the chances and opportunity that he's given me to become transformed in a way to then be influential on other people's transformation. And that, in the end of the day, when it talks about in Matthew 25, you know, visiting this, you know, mm-hmm. you know, my question becomes, well, I did this or I didn't know. But did you do what I asked?
The main things.
The main things. Did you do those main mm-hmm. things? If I told you to stop and do this, mm-hmm. if it sounded crazy, did you do mm-hmm. it? If I said for you to go this way and you decided, okay, I want to go this way because this way don't sound
right.
Did you do it?
Did you do it?
You know, what did you do? And so I felt like that moment, for me in that moment, it was like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, okay. And then they wanted to make sure I was okay. You know what I mean? Like that they were not, that I wasn't walking away feeling scolded or,
right.
or you know mm-hmm. what I mean? That I was feeling empowered. And I said, oh, I got you, brother. He said, you give me sister. I said, I got you, brother. I said, as soon as you said that, I had it. I said, so trust me, I could say a whole lot of stuff. I just minimized it because that's what I've been used to doing.
I'm so curious now, Lakrita, of like what his story is around that. Because to your point, there have to have been either a similar experience and somebody called him up, or that was how he was raised for him to like so naturally be able to step into that moment.
Well, I think that it's something he has said to me that only reflected me back to that moment. And he said, you know, I have talked to someone about you. And he said, there's no disrespect about anybody else before me, but I have he said, I want to say this to you, that what I experienced with you is how you were able to evolve into who you've become mm-hmm. without having necessary someone leading you in the way that you may have needed to be shaped and led. But yet you have came into this moment anyway. Well, I felt like that's what he was saying to me again in the evaluation piece of paper. He was saying, you're not evaluating yourself well enough.
Stop, fool.
Stop. Mm-hmm. Stop it. I won't let you do it. This is not acceptable.
Wow.
And if I let you do it, then I become that. I won't do it.
He was setting a new standard.
He was setting a new standard. That's exactly what he was doing. He was setting a new standard. He was setting the bar.
Yes. That you'll probably hold for someone else.
That's a good kind of bar.
It was. And so those, to me, is the epigenetics that you don't even know that's in you. And like you said, the things that's wrapped up in you and deep wounds and deep pain. And, you know, you don't even know that, you know, how that trauma has divided you into two people and how it's how you've become somebody else only to please somebody else or to shrink back or, you know, not be your full self because you're so concerned about how people will receive you and, you know, and especially as an African-American woman, as women, period, I heard something say, you know, when we were born as a female, and this young lady was talking and she's from India, you know, was already a mark on her because they like males. And so you're already a female, then you're a dark-skinned female, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you're already got all these marks on you. And so I thought about that, how many times as women, and I know you're doing your study on women, and how many times as we as women have to, you know, we do more than men half the time, but we don't get the pay, we don't get the acknowledgement, we don't get all those things. And so all of those tags and marks and trauma and how we've been divided, you know what I'm saying, in so many ways because of the traumatic experiences, we start believing the lies ourselves.
Yes, 100%. It's like your existence becomes compartmentalized. You exist in pieces of yourself in different environments that you're in and don't get to be your whole full self.
Yeah, and now they got a little saying for it. What is it called?
Imposter syndrome?
Yeah, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
I said, they always coming up with something.
I just read something recently,
I'm like, no, people just don't compartmentalize themselves because they had to.
Yes. And whatever I read, oh, shoot, I think it was out of the Harvard Business Review. I think they had done a study recently, and they were talking about imposter syndrome. Like, to call something a syndrome is pretty strong. That means it would be in the DSM-5, I think it is, like the book where you are calling out like actual,
like a disease, like a depression. And
yes. And they were like, it is not a syndrome. It is, women have, based on all of these experiences, tags, etc., they've had to wrestle with and struggle with these things. And there's nothing, again, there's nothing wrong with them. To call it a syndrome is saying there's something wrong with you, that you are struggling with being an imposter. There's nothing wrong with me. There's something that happened to me.
Exactly.
And me, again, unveiling and looking at what happened to me is going to help me to understand why I do wrestle maybe with certain things. There are women out there who might struggle with using their voice in the room because they've not been allowed to. That's not their fault that somebody silenced them. It's not a syndrome in that way. And so even being able to rename and reframe that, I think, is necessary and empowering so that you can do the work and dig deep to see what happened to me. What are the systems and environments that I've grown up in that have put me in this position where I am feeling like I have to strive or feeling like I have to work twice as hard to get half as much? I just think there's so much work that needs to be done. Personal work is important, and naming systems that have perpetuated these inconsistencies and inequities against us is important.
So they're just, it's just amazing. Like, it's just so many things. But I'm so grateful to be presently whole and not divided through my trauma or my experiences, that when I'm presently whole in a situation, I'm able to articulate it, but I'm also able to experience the moment in a way that is healthy for me. Just in that whole moment was just like, oh my God, you know what I mean? And then, of course, I had to jump into another situation immediately after that, but that was sacred in my heart. Like, I'm holding this right here. I'm going to sit with this. This is the week. You starting the week off already, Lord. You know, when I walked up to my desk and seen an envelope with my name and opened it up, and then inside it was, I guess you put it in there, and it said the master key. And the Lord said, I am the master, and I am the key. And you followed my instructions. And so look what's here. You know, that, you know, and it's like you had, you fought, even when it came down to that, this new facility, these new homes, you could pout and be angry, or you could be willing to stand up and not wait for permission to do what I ask. And I had to decide I'm not waiting for permission. But I had to also obey. And he showed me that as I sat there with that key today. You had to be willing to go against your pouting. And even if it was justified, you had to go against it and show up that day. And that day was the catalyst and catapulted you to this moment. Was your obedience, your willingness to do it, even though you didn't want to, your willingness to show up, even if you felt like you were being used, your willingness to overcome all of the stuff to make sure that someone else had what they needed, because I knew that moment was waiting for you to show up. The question would you show up? Because the choice is always yours. Yes. It's always yours. I don't need you to trust me, Lakrita. My trustworthiness has been established for generations to generation. I need to know I can trust you. And you're looking at this key.
That's it.
Today. Because I can trust you.
Wow.
That's... to show up. I heard what I heard today at that table because I showed up.
It was waiting on me.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to stick it through the resilience, as you talked about.
Yes.
To be able to finally hear it.
Mm.
And not just because he's a leader, but because he's a man.
Wow.
And for me, it's so much deeper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That the day that that man healed, even some residual things that I didn't even know that God was coming to visit, to blow away anything that could try to take me out.
Wow. Hmm.
That a man would value me in a new way that could take advantage, but decided, I see you, I value you, I want you to know I'm here to make sure you see and value yourself.
That's so redeeming.
So all of that was more deeper than, like you said.
Yeah.
It was deep calling into deep. It's the unprecedented year for me.
Yes.
That was unprecedented. I've never experienced that before.
Wow.
I have for my husband, because that's a relationship you should. But I'm saying outside of that. In this kind of environment, I had not. Not in that way.
Wow.
Well, I see 3, 4, 5, 6 pages worth of accomplishments that you can put down on a sheet of paper. Like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I was thinking about that. I was like, man, we could fill up this whiteboard behind me with everything that you've done and all the time you've been here. So,
yeah. And I think that presently whole piece you mentioned is so key, because I think it combats that compartmentalized identity. Mm-hmm. And I think showing up presently whole is showing up as we are, how God created us, our experiences, the things that we've been through, and who God is calling us up to be. It's like all of those things we're showing up as, not perfect, but imperfect, but willing and obedient. And to me, that is so significant. And I think that speaks to, again, the power of that unveiling. Once you know who you really are, everything that you have experienced and been through, there's also a moment to praise, because it's like, this is what I've been exposed to. These are the tags. And I still ended up here.
Come on.
Okay, Jesus, like, let's go. Like, let's keep it coming. I'm ready to be called up, and I'm ready to step into how you see me. And maybe things that I didn't even see myself. Like, let me be a fully integrated whole person that presently shows up. And I think there's a quote. Her name is Alex L. She's an author. She says, healing is an act of community care. And in your healing, just what doors will be opened for the community to receive the care of who you are as a presently full, whole person. There's just so much power in that. I think it's exciting.
I'm excited. No, it's like, I'm telling you, that to me is like the undivided of becoming whole. You know what I'm saying? That is, you know, how trauma has divided us, but then been able, you know, to the next topic to come in when we come back and talk about, you know, how undivided but becoming whole. You know what I'm saying? And just because you're right, it's like all of that community care, you know, throughout my walk and journey, you know, has helped me heal.
Yes.
And it was all necessary. Even the things that was not pleasant. It was still part of the process of healing.
Yeah.
It was all it's part a process. Of it.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Very powerful. Well, we are going to wrap it up at that. and we are really looking forward to having you on next time. So, again, we're going to be talking about undivided and
becoming whole and self-forgiveness and compassion.
It's going to be good. Good stuff.
I'm looking forward to it.
I can't wait for the audience to hear more about what Undivided is.
And please not only just, but go look up the information about epigenetics.
Yes,
you know, please
the
research. Do your homework. You know what I'm saying? Send us if you got questions. Courtney is available. We can make sure she does seminars. She does these things. So if you want to learn more, she's always open to do a teaching for your church.
Oh, yeah.
For your small groups. She is a valuable teacher in this and knows how to present this information in a way, I mean, an eye-opening moment of unveiling. And so please, you know, when you listen to this podcast and you see, we will have her information also on the podcast where you can, you know, send her an email to, if you want to, you know, her to be invited to your church to come do these teachings.
I'd be happy to.
She is, trust me, you will not be disappointed.
Thank you, Lucretia.
Yeah. Can't recommend her highly enough.
Y'all are the best.
Yeah, well, you.
Thankful for you both.
Like I said, I've heard you talk on this twice, and the first time was mind-blowing, and it was so insightful for me with regard to my own healing. And I was like, I had never heard of epigenetics, and it was like, it was like one of those moments where the light came on, and I could make connections to things, and it was like, oh, I get that now. Now I know why. Yeah, I did this and that. So anyway, so thank you again.
Thank you. I look forward to being back.
Amen.
The year was 1924. A missions worker from Dayton, Ohio, realized that Cincinnati was in need of its own mission. A vision was born after working with business leaders in the area, including James N. Gamble of Procter & Gamble fame. Throughout its 100-year history, City Gospel Mission has worked tirelessly in the community to break the cycle of poverty and despair as a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and those needing job services. City Gospel Mission has also stayed true to being Christ-centered, as the founders intended when they laid the foundation of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We look forward to our next 100 years for changing lives and saving souls. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2023 by Lucretia Bowman.